B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like both those players. We've had Brian a couple times, and I think, he certainly gives us a very solid level of play. And we have a lot of confidence in him. And Jared had a good year last year. He improved a lot. And we'll see where that takes him. So, yeah, I have confidence in both players. The bottom line is that, we're evaluating that position along with all the other ones. And if we feel like we find the right situation, we'll certainly draft them. And we've drafted them in multiple years and multiple points in the draft. Didn't work out the last 3 days. That wasn't by design. It could have, but it didn't. Again, there are multiple ways to build your team. We'll see whether or not that comes up at a different point in time. I don't know, but we just tried to do the best we could with what we had in this weekend, and that's what we did, and we'll see where it goes.
Bill Belichick, after the draft, saying that the team not drafting a quarterback wasn't by design. They weren't going out of their way not to draft a quarterback, but that the opportunity didn't really present itself. I think it's a big win over the weekend for Jarrett Stidham, that he is the young guy that they're looking to have as their starting quarterback eventually. I think it will probably happen this year, but the fact is they didn't feel the need to bring someone else in. Right. Whether it be for this year or for future years, they didn't feel the need to prioritize a quarterback in this draft. And they didn't see anything in this draft that represented a better opportunity at quarterback than what they already have on their roster.
Yeah, and I think the only guy that maybe could have replicated sort of the same thing, and you're bringing the same type of guy, would have been a Fromm. And so why even bring a Fromm in if you already have that type of guy in Stidham, and you like Stidham, and you think he's better than Fromm? Obviously, I think there was some separation with Hurts and Fromm, the two guys I thought threw best at the combine, and watching them play. And I thought Hurts was intriguing because it was 26-2 as a starter at Alabama. Was losing the national championship game. He got yanked, and Tua came in, ends up winning that game, loses the job to Tua, transfers to Oklahoma, still plays at extremely high level, takes them to a conference championship game. So he's done it with two different teams where it's stacked against you. The odds are against you. You rally. You become a leader in two different places. Showed me something about Jalen Hurts. That's why I liked Hurts coming out. And I thought he looked comfortable at the combine. So if he was already off the board in round two, hey, we already got Stidham. Why do we need another Stidham and Fromm in a later round? We're just going to roll with what we have. Have Hoyer here, in essence, help him to compete, push him, be a coach also to him, because Brian sees some things that other guys don't. And then you sign two other guys to be camp arms, and maybe somebody pops as the third guy. So I think that's where you're at. And that's a big win for Stidham. Big win.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's he's got to be feeling, as you said, more confident and feeling like he's got a real shot at being the guy here in New England going forward.
I just didn't hear a lot of stuff from guys talking about Brian Hoyer over the last month and a half, right? I mean, Brian's been back here now for a while.
Why would you?
Well, I mean, hey, you're told to compete. You're here competing for the job, and yet all the team captains are out there on websites and on Skype and that, and you're talking about Stid this, Stid that, and Stid's the guy.
You want to pin your future hopes and dreams on Brian Hoyer?
Read
no one wants to do that.
I think Stidham's the guy.
Hey, speaking of which, Brian Hoyer is a Michigan State guy. And one of the undrafted quarterbacks that the Patriots brought in is also a Michigan State guy. What can you tell us about him, Hardy?
Oh, Brian Lewerke?
Yeah, what can you tell us about Lewerke?
Underwhelming. I think you can watch a ton of film on Brian Lewerke and walk away with the reaction of, there's a college football player there. Look at him.
Wow. A ringing endorsement from our in-house Michigan State guy.
I was much higher on Brian Hoyer than I ever was on Brian Lewerke.
Is he better than Tony Bryans. Banks? Is he better than Tony Banks?
The two
Tony
Bryans. what'd you say? Tony
hated,
Banks?
I never hated
You've
him.
You've had
some
good quarterbacks come out of there. I'm telling
he
you.
He never presented as a guy who was like,
Drew Stanton?
He's going places. This young man has got it. No, that young man had many games in which he played quarterback at Michigan State.
there was a highlight circulating around on Twitter where he was in the shotgun, took the ball, dropped it, bent over to pick it up, kicked it. Somebody else tackled him. The ball squirted back. He went back, picked it up, dropped it again. That's like Patriots new quarterback.
Like, well, oh.
That was not a good play.
I think it was wet.
It had to be, yeah.
It's like, and it's heavy.
It was like bloopers and follies, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, I would say that Michigan State has not typically been a quarterback factory.
Well, Kirk Cousins. I mean, what else do you want?
Cousins, Drew Stanton, Tony Banks, Brian Hoyer, right?
Yeah Hoyer. Keep going. The list goes right there. That's it. You just named it. That's
all
the whole list.
All right, then. Very good. 617-779-0985. Gunner in North Andover. Gunner, go ahead. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, guys?
Hey, go ahead.
Hi. All right. First of all, I just want to say I've been waiting a long time. I called this morning, and I just been patient. I called before. My name is Gunner. I use that because I served 20 years in the world's finest Navy, and I'm also a police officer. But the comment was about the kicker. Now, I sort of felt like the kicker that they drafted, you know, I saw the picture on his right arm. He has the American flag, and then he has that tattoo. I waited like 10 years after I retired to get my tattoo, and I got a Popeye in my right arm. But sometimes people make stupid mistakes, you know what I mean, when they're young. But the thing is, he made some kind of comment about his relatives and some other stuff about, you know, some
military,
people serving in the military. And the only other thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to get off of here, let you guys comment on it, is, you know, obviously people make stupid mistakes. People follow stupid things. Hopefully this guy, his football is better than the decisions that he made earlier on as far as regarding this tattoo. Zoe, you're right. If you sat there and you analyzed every single person in that locker room and all their tattoos, they would tell a certain story about a certain person. But the character part about what kind of football player is he going to be to the Patriots is the most important thing. And despite what people said to you, Hardy, spot on your research. I trust you guys. I trust your opinions. Thank you very much, guys. Stay safe. And thank you. I look forward to your comments.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I was generally with Gunner. Like, you know, when you're young, people do stupid things. So if he said it was stupid, it was a mistake, you know, I denounce that. I want to take him at his word that he, you know, made a dumb mistake, I mean, and he's going to either cover it up with another tattoo. That's what I sort of figured he was saying when he said it'll be covered or wants to remove it now that he's got some money.
If he came out and said, hey, I just express myself like anybody else, and I'm just going to put, yeah, that's what I do. I wear it on my sleeves. No. I don't stand for that. I thought it stood for something else. I did it at a young age. And by the way, it'll be covered up. So,
yeah, there's
just been
a few other things out there about this guy that indicates that.
What's the dates on those, Hardy? Current or, you know, going back to early days, high school? Or
a year ago.
A year ago.
Within the year 2019. So, I don't know. I think he's probably going to be asked about it again. He's probably going to want to say something else about it at some point, because the people who are upset about this are very upset about it, and I don't think they're going to go quietly on it.
No, and there are a bunch of people making, like, you know, just outwardly saying, like, oh, this guy's a white supremacist. This guy is a Nazi sympathizer. It's like, no, none of us are saying anything remotely close to that. But the most damning thing that I think has been said about him that probably has at least some basis in truth is he just seems to like a lot of the same things that those people like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's – and
– I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and, like, some of them are more damning than others. It's like, man, did you see all those KKK guys eating pizza over the weekend? Like, oh, man, I like pizza, too. That sucks. But it doesn't necessarily implicate you. But when he's into, I don't know, maybe some of the same teachings that other people on the fringe are into. And I'm using fringe as a very, you know, very broad term here. Or he's into some certain things like the three percenters or the oath takers that, no, not all these guys. It's not part of their doctrine. It's not part of their manifesto that they are white supremacists or anything. It's just, it's a bit of a red flag when there are people who do get into that life also find some common ground with the three percenters or the oath takers. And what one necessarily doesn't have anything to do with the other, but there are some signals there that indicate, okay, maybe he did know, maybe he's trying to walk it back now, maybe he's changed his mind. How different a person are you now than you were at 25 and 18 and 15? You know, there's a lot that you can change your mind about, but the guy did get it tattooed on his arm, and he did seem to know enough about it to post a couple of photos and like a couple of things on his social media accounts that would speak to having at least some understanding of what it's all about, as opposed to, oh, I just did it because I thought it meant the military and I have family in the military. Nah, I think he probably had a little more understanding than that. I'm giving him credit by saying he had more of an understanding than that. You know, you get, you know, some kind of a strange tattoo like that without having any idea what it meant. Well, that's not giving the kid any credit at all. I'll give him some credit. He knew what it was about. Maybe he's changed his mind on it. Maybe he feels no need to change his mind on it. But to say that there's absolutely nothing to it and it doesn't have, you know, it's not worthy of any kind of conversation, no, I think it is. Read up on it a little bit. See what you think about it.
Thoughts on the draft? Thoughts on Canes Mayo? Got some thoughts coming in on email on that one for you.
A lot.
All of this is on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got to correct something I said earlier in the show, though. I got to maybe clarify things. We're talking about head coaches and their sons following them. And I was talking about sons that had won playoff games where their dad had been a head coach. There's something to that. Rex Ryan would obviously be the son of a former head coach who had won a playoff game. The criteria that I don't think I fully explained properly was that their dad had won a playoff game too. Buddy Ryan did not win a playoff game in his coaching career. He was 0-3 in the playoffs.
He was DC. Yeah.
Rex did. And so for that, that's why that was
Buddy
the
had those badass Philly teams too. I hated that, those teams. They were dirty. Clyde Simmons and all those guys.
Yeah, but I mean, Buddy was a head coach in two different places. He was 0-3 as a head coach in the playoffs.
Right.
He was 0-3 in the playoffs. But Rex, his son, who, again, I don't think we would regard as a better coach than his dad. Who do you think was a better coach? Even
Buddy
though Buddy Ryan was 0-3.
Buddy designed defense, right? Yeah. I don't know. Different days, different times. I think Rex was good for the league when Rex was in it. I liked Rex.
So the stat was, and again, I apologize if I didn't clearly explain this. The father, as a head coach, won at least one playoff game, and their son won at least a playoff game. There's only two father-son combos that have won a playoff game in the NFL, one of which is Bum and Wade Phillips. They both had playoff wins. Wade Phillips has a playoff win as a head coach, and the other being Mike and Kyle Shanahan. Those are the two combos of father-son coaches that won playoff games. The rest, not so much, even though Rex did get a win. His dad did not. So that was a clarification. An email on Canes Mayonnaise.
Yes.
It says, grew up in a typical Boston Irish household. The spices consisted of salt and pepper, and the condiments were French's mustard, Hunt's ketchup, and Canes Mayonnaise. He says, for 20 years, I hated tuna fish sandwiches, chicken salad, and tomatoes because I was told to put mayonnaise on them. In college, I tried Hellman's and everything changed. Canes is rough. He says that he doesn't agree with Zoe on chicken salad. And he says, get Willow Tree and make your own sandwich.
I love Willow Tree.
Oh, C. Scott's. Yeah. Has great sandwiches, but I don't agree with Zoe on chicken salad. Get Willow Tree in Attleboro. Make your own sandwich. Jack and Rentham.
See, so. Now this was not the email I thought you were going to share, Beetle.
Why? What's the email I was going to share?
I have another one from Josh, and the subject of the email is Zoe's a fraud. Here it is. Guys, you got to call Zoe out. Yeah. I've been listening to since 2013 or 14 or so. And he's talked about Canes before. You have to find it. I specifically remember almost buying it for his description on the quote-unquote Tang.
This is I was Josh probably talking about West Miracle Whip Newbury. Then.
What's that?
No, because we were making I was clear on our pasta salads are all made. We go out of the way to get Miracle Whip, and that's the only thing we put Miracle Whip on for the tang of our pasta salads. Mm-hmm. We square up ham. We square up Munster cheese, cucumbers, tomatoes, and we get the spiral macaroni, and you put it with Miracle Whip and just a little bit of like rice wine vinegar with that, mix it in there, and it tastes good. Tang for the tang, the twang, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, search all you want.
We are going to go back, and we are going to listen to every show.
You should do that.
2013 that, yep. and 2014 until we find you talking about Cane's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Miracle Whip is like a poor man's mayonnaise, is it not?
It's in our fridge. It's in our fridge, and that's like what you throw on when you run out of mayonnaise. Yeah. Yeah. It's too much. It's too sweet.
Yeah, but you had it in your house when you were a kid. It was, I mean.
It's good. I'm going to sit here and like say, hey, you know, but man.
My house growing up, mayonnaise was like rich people food. We had Miracle Whip.
You know what would be interesting here and where it could really be a game changer?
What?
Ultimately, Thousand Island is made with mayonnaise and ketchup. That's the ketchup base, a little bit of chopped up pickles in it, right? That's how you make Thousand Island Russian dressing.
Is that accurate?
I'm anxious. Yeah, that's the special sauce. It's mayonnaise and ketchup. Yeah, yeah. That's why the Whopper is such a great burger from Burger King, because they only put mayonnaise and ketchup on it. They put no mustard, so it gives you the Thousand Island taste, which is the secret sauce of the Big Mac, right? I'm intrigued now to go downstairs and take my Heinz ketchup with the Canes, mix that up, a little bit of chopped pickle, and see how good that can be on a potential burger that I might grill here today.
That sounds like I know what you're doing with the rest of your afternoon.
You got to plan it out. It's what we do here. Yeah.
All right, then. Well, good luck with
the house.
That.
I haven't left the house yet today. This is crazy.
No, today.
I feel like
hasn't left
down.
The house yet
I'm strapped
today.
Strapped down, yeah. Beetle started his car last week. I can't stop laughing at that. He told that story. Oh, my God.
Big trip to the ATM. Christian.
Hey, Hardy, you probably sat there and stared at that ATM for about 10 minutes, waiting until that one person left, and oh, crap, another guy showed up. I'm not going in after him. He looks dirty.
He had his special COVID ATM pen.
He's got like one of those hoods on, like for the beekeeper, and he's got the rubber gloves. He looks like some astronaut that landed when Michael J. Fox came out of the DeLorean and Back to the Future, and he's Beetle spraying down lice all through the ATM.
Isn't that funny, Ooh. Hardy? People that don't want to get COVID-19. Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to get it.
What's that cough you have there, Zoe? What do you got there? A little dry cough today?
Little end of the granola seeds. Yeah.
Oh. By the way, Thousand Island dressing, Beetle.
Yeah, I looked it up.
Sweet pickle relish, ketchup, mayonnaise, white vinegar.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Yeah. And Zoe's going to spend the entire afternoon
perfecting it.
Like he's got a chemistry set in his kitchen.
I guess I would if I liked Thousand Island dressing, but it's, you know, like I like it on a Reuben. That's about it.
I tell you what. You know who's got the best Thousand Island is Ken's. Ken's Steakhouse. Oh, phenomenal.
I'd go more wishbone on the Thousand Island myself.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's a little twangy. It's a little darker.
I like the wishbone one.
A little orangey. A little more orangey.
Christian's in Hampton. Christian.
Hello. How's it going, though?
Hello. Hi.
I just want to talk about where you guys think Jamar Smith is going to fall in the quarterback. Like, I don't know if you want to call it race because Hoyer isn't even a quarterback, basically. Re-signed him. Nothing. And
okay, good point.
He's competing for the starting job. Jamar Smith is not. Right.
Probably not going to make the team.
Campbell.
That's what I'd say. Yeah, same Campbell. Thing for the Michigan State kid there. What's his name again?
Lou. Kowarki.
Kowarki. Lowarki.
Kanurko.
Yeah, I'd say they're both outside chances of making the roster. They both have an uphill climb to make that team. That's where I'd put their chances at. I don't think either one of those guys would be competing for the starting job. Those look like camp arms. Tom in Maine on a quarterback thing. Hey, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call. My first question is, why didn't the Patriots try and make a trade with the Colts for Brissett?
Well, they still could. I mean, doesn't necessarily have to be this year's draft picks to do it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And also, what people don't realize about that Tua's injury, if you remember, Bo Jackson took basically the same injury. He tried to play four games, and he got hit again, and that was the end of his career. So I think that Tua was a gamble. And number three, sir, is I don't think they addressed a run stuffer in the middle, and I'm not impressed with their two defensive ends. What's your take on that?
Okay. To Tua, I think the best thing for him is to sit for a year, redshirt him, right? Get him right. Get him under the system. Coach him up.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Allow him to rest. You still have Fitzpatrick there. You got an old offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey that came out of retirement, which is doubly strange for me. Your run stuffers, you still have Lawrence Guy, right? You lose Danny Shelton. That's kind of what I was looking for in the draft, maybe somebody big off the edge. That did not happen. You picked up a backer opposite Winovich, played with him in college. So maybe you got something there as far as a combination to help ease the loss of Kyle Van Noy. You got the kid Afrenay Jennings from Bama. Pretty good guy. I mean, I've watched him play. So you got Hightower to work with him, sort of get him going. We'll see. They'll find bodies to put in there.
Let's pick this up on the other side, the thought of Jacoby Brissett and not trading for him, as the caller brought up. We will touch on that next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Heavy set, overload right, hand off to the fullback, a leap by Devlin, bounces off the pile, trying to fight his way in on the left side, still turning, diving, touchdown, Patriots!
He said boom, 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 Devlin goes up the middle, Bob Soucy on a little P13 give to the left side, the little plunge, and the big meathead would not be denied. He gets hit once, twice, three times, and finally finds daylight. Great effort. That is a big boy.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
James Devlin, Patriots fullback, announced on Instagram just minutes ago that he is retiring from football. He wrote in his statement, "Due to unforeseen complications with the injury that ended my season last year, I have decided it is both in my and my family's best interest to retire from the game of football. I've always maintained a belief that in the sport, the team is much more important than myself as an individual, and that belief still rings true as I have to prioritize my team at home before anything else. To sit here, the man I am today, and to think of my personal growth both on and off the field, the past 10 years of my NFL career is truly humbling. I am incredibly proud of my journey within the sport, and I will forever be indebted to the game that gave me so much." He goes on to thank Mr. Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the entire Patriots organization for believing in him, and to all of his coaches and teammates over his 25 years of playing the sport of football. He was obviously a favorite on this show. We love James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, another neck roll guy down, right? There aren't many of those guys net left. I like the big pad behind the helmet, a big neck roll. You know, guys are going to get up inside. It's class act. Smart kid, went to Brown. Obviously had a bad neck injury, had the leg injury, and he started to get nicked up here at the end. But I guess there are going to be some complications if he would have another injury related to that neck injury that could really, you know, hamper what he does post-playing career and just not worth the risk. So he makes a smart decision. He'll be good at whatever he does. Was counting on him to be back, but maybe there was a little writing on the wall with them signing Vitaly, another fullback this offseason, to maybe have him in line to take his place if they already got a bad medical on him. Sony Michel should be saying, uh-oh. Yeah. Because he's a much different back with James Devlin in front of him.
So
that guy killed linebackers.
James Devlin, a three-time Super Bowl champion, also had a Pro Bowl appearance in his career, going back a few years, and he retires after his career with the Patriots. And I know that when he went down last year, Landon Roberts did a good job of filling in, but I'm gonna miss James Devlin.
Yeah, like Devlin. Yeah, he's a good kid. Good kid.
He's always good to this show during training camp as well. Sure. Always willing to jump on, and yeah. Well, that stinks. I hope that there's no other lasting impacts from his injury. There's no other, you know, symptoms or anything that he's dealing with in everyday life. I hope he's feeling good, and that it's more about being precautionary as opposed to being unable to get back out on the field. I wish that guy the best going forward. 617-779-0985. Rob is in Foxborough. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Too bad about James Devlin. I mean, but God bless him, right? Kevin Turner in that position, that's a rough position to be in, and probably why they get the kid from Virginia Tech. But anyways, what I'm calling in for is that, listen, guys, let's not look for football for our moral compass. There's probably a 50-50 chance that guy is a white supremacist, but that guy that called in from Florida, if he kicks a game-winning field goal, he'll be the first one out of his seats just raving about the guy. So, you know, give me a break. It's just full of characters, and you can't judge the kid just yet.
No, right. No one's doing any judging. He's just asking some questions, and let's just say for the sake of argument, not the kicker in question, but it was somebody else, like full blown, and it went well beyond any 3% or oath taker or anything like else. Yeah, this guy got swastikas on his arm. I wouldn't call that just being a character. Oh, look at that clown! Look
right.
at that.
Right, look everyone's got a line.
Well, what's the guy's name in stripes, Hardy?
Wacko? He really marches to his own drummer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
At some point, you got to say, okay, there's different. Everyone's, you know, got their own opinions and their own thoughts on things. And like you said, Beetle, everyone's got a line. Just got to determine where yours is.
Camden is in New Hampshire. Hi, Camden.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
What's up?
Real quick, as a LSU alum, kind of bummed out we didn't take a chance on Thaddeus Moss. And then besides that, we picked up at least, it had to be 20 guys between the draft and free agency. How do we evaluate these guys, and what's a timetable for that? I'm not familiar with what it is normally. Thanks, guys.
That's a good question, because you'd be right into the weightlifting part of phase one of the program. And eventually get into the first sessions of OTAs, doing some work, doing some on-field stuff. And it would be three sessions of those prior to the beginning of June when you would have a mandatory mini camp. Then you get your weeks off. Some of the rookies would still stick around for another two-week program. And then the end of July, last Thursday in July, you report for camp. And that would be your schedule. Right now, we have no clue. We don't know yet. And you take it day by day, and you try and have virtual meetings with these guys. And like I said last week, the hardest thing to do is work out by yourself. And I'm sure some of them are getting together in groups. Whether you're lifting with each other in some guy's driveway. And, you know, we've seen that with who the hell was the Patriots offensive lineman working out with somebody else on the team. Was it Kajus? No. Who the hell was it? It was a German kid.
I don't know.
Deadlifting about 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, it's not like you're lifting in groups of 10 or 12 where you're really pushing each other. And that's where you're going to have to be weary and wonder, well, how are these teams going to come back? What shape are guys going to be in? Are you going to have quicker leg pulls, muscle pulls? Are you going to be tougher coaching on them at the beginning or really try to get them in shape? Are you going to ease teams into it? Probably the more veteran teams are going to have the advantage over these younger teams right now. And, going back to last year, Patriots were the oldest team on both sides of the football. You know, Brady's not here anymore, so that'll skew things a little differently. But, you got rid of some old guys and you're going young here. A little bit of a transformation.
One final call. It's from Eric in Winthrop. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, I heard Zoe mention Ken salad dressing. There's two brothers. One stuck with the steakhouses. but the one who branched off with the salad dressings is in like a different stratosphere of wealth. My dad worked for him for years and years and years. He had a great summer barbecue. But they make a product called 2,000 Island. I'm not exactly sure what the difference is.
Yeah.
But their 2,000 Island dressing is unbelievable. You should try it.
Well, the salad dressing guy, he's got one of the biggest fishing boats in Falmouth Harbor. I mean, this thing's huge. It's like an 85-foot Bertram down there. This thing's crazy. Not Bertrand, Bertram.
Who's the brother of...
Yeah. One of the brothers, I think, advanced it and took the salad dressing, those salad dressings to the next level once the steakhouse closed down up there in Framingham. But we used to go up there and eat. It was awesome because I used to love it because they would bring...
What steakhouse? I'm so lost.
Kent Steakhouse. Kent Steakhouse. Sorry.
I thought he had said Kane's, and I'm like...
No, Kent's. He's talking about Ken's Steakhouse salad dressing.
I was so lost on what the hell we were talking about.
Yeah, but the cool thing about that steakhouse was they would bring the big... You know, the old steakhouses had the metal serving thing you'd bring over with the spoon of you could have all the dressing you want. You want some sour cream for your baked potato, your butter, your chives. Those were good.
That makes sense now. Got it. Today's takeaways, and we will address Kane's mayonnaise in the takeaways.
Oh.
We'll do that next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaways on a Monday brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The virtual program right now available through Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They have 6 locations. Check it out, awaken180weightloss.com. They'll coach up right there at home. Lose the weight before you get back to work. Summer's right around the corner.
Let's get to the takeaways. First today, things that Hardy was out on talking about.
The oath is about our oath we took to defend the Constitution.
Who do you take that
we believe from? Everybody's constitutional rights should be upheld, regardless of their beliefs.
Okay. Good.
All right, then.
The Constitution.
When Gostkowski went down last year, they were like every other team in the league where they had the bum of the month club for the rest of the season.
Their guy got hurt, though. I mean, what
Their one guy. Then I'm not... add this to the list of things doing today. I'm not going to argue about the importance of kickers because I tried doing it last year and everyone told me to shut up.
Wow. You know, what time do you have to have those lists in at night? Like stuff we don't want to talk about tomorrow.
I don't know, but I'm going to start doing that. Things we're out on. I like it.
Good.
Mayo talked today with Zoe, who claims to have discovered Kane's mayo over the weekend.
This is great mayonnaise. Like, this got a little, it's not like Miracle Whip tangy, you know what I'm saying? Like that sweetness. Because if you have too much Miracle Whip, I think it's a little too much.
Let me just say that the people that are Kane's mayonnaise people, and Kane's is obviously a Boston brand, New England brand. Yes.
I didn't even know this.
Yes. I can tell you that in my wife's family, her aunt, who doesn't live in New England anymore, but when she's here, that is one of the things she will take back home with her.
I gotta grab
some Kane's mayonnaise. And I'm like, this happened the first time years ago. I'm like, what? So Zoe went on to talk about the tang and about how much he enjoyed finding Kane's mayo and having it for the first time over the weekend, right, Zoe?
Yeah.
First time. Yep.
First time. Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Except Chris Ross, one of our listeners, came out of nowhere and said, nope, fraud, nope, we've talked about it before,
good memory.
In fact, we joked, what are we going to do, go back and look through all the dates? Well, one particular listener, Chris, said, yeah, go back to this date, November 25th, 2015. That was the day he talked about it. He provided the date, and so we did, and look what we found from nearly 5 years ago.
The big question is, mayo or Miracle Whip?
Oh, mayo. I don't mess with that Miracle Whip stuff. Mayo all the way, man.
You know what I kind of acquired a taste for is Kane's mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's a New England thing.
It's got a little kick
to it. New England thing.
It's kind of
I'm more of a classic Hellman's guy.
Hellman's is great. It's real neutral. It's down the middle. But, like, if you...
Or the best.
Say you have, you know, a big scoop of Hellman's.
Yeah.
And you say you want to take maybe a little tiny...
I'll tell you, my wife's aunt lives in Pennsylvania now.
Yeah.
And when she comes up here, she gets Cane's mayonnaise.
Take it back. I know.
Yeah, she takes it
Same
back.
Thing.
Yeah.
I have, my wife has relatives that would do that. Live in Florida, they come up.
Yeah.
They take the
Cane's. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's got a little
something
tank
special
there.
About it.
That's like verbatim.
Oh, my God.
You people are freaks.
Four and a half years ago.
I asked Chris.
Nobody else here was dishonest about their experience with Cane's, except for you.
No, I said my mother-in-law sends it to my brother-in-law.
You said you developed a taste for Cane's.
Over the weekend. Like, I forgot about it.
No, in 2015, you said you developed a taste.
But then I went away and it was just like strictly mayonnaise because, like, she only buys the Hellman's mayonnaise.
You also said that when you brought it home this weekend that your family was like,
home.
What the hell is this?
No, I brought it home Saturday here. I went to Price Right on Saturday.
Right. Yes. That's what we're talking about. That's and how you introduced it to your household
here.
For the very first time
yes.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
It's all lies. What
Fraud.
Else have you been lying about?
I don't know. Fraud. That's
I asked
like,
Chris.
I remember what I want to remember.
Don't you want to know how he knew that? Don't you want to know how this guy knew November 25th?
I know how he knew, which is
so
interesting.
How was it?
I asked him. I said, how the hell do you know this? He said, I searched my own tweets. And I tweeted Zoe that day with what I believe was a tweet agreeing with Zoe that Cane's is the best. So, he knew enough that he had tweeted at you. He went back and found his old tweet and found it. So, you know, this is just another case of people needing to scrub their social media at this time of year. Whether it's, you know, an NFL draftee or somebody talking some complete BS about trying a certain brand of mayonnaise for the first time. Because we know now that's not true, Zoe. You lied to us.
That was a day before Thanksgiving caller's delight. That was.
Oh, I could tell
from.
It was caller's delight. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that I knew. But look at that.
Hey, on the subject of dressing, whatever happened to French dressing? That used to be a thing.
Yeah, sort of died.
They ruined it in high school.
How?
Because you'd always go through the salad line. You always had the option. They never had ranch or they never had Thousand. They always had either Italian dressing or French dressing. And the French dressing was all sick and thick and goopy, and it just
ranch
tasted
dressing
like
didn't exist. It was French dressing, or like you
French,
said, like
French or Italian.
Yeah, that was it.
And I just got got yucked by that. That somebody developed Thousand Island, and it was all over. Hidden Valley Ranch really changed the game. My apologies on the Cane's. I forgot it, but then I found it again. Got to count for something.
And now you're going to spend your afternoon. Perfecting Thousand Island in your kitchen.
I'm not
going to
do it
now.
It's not even worth it now. It's ruined my afternoon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.